Good morning. You've tuned in to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson. I'm here with Jim Healy, as usual.
No, no, not as usual. Well, I wasn't here last week.
That's true.
And I won't be here next week.
The prodigal Jim Healy. But you're back right now, and that's good.
I am here and present, and I'll be with you for the next hour.
Okay. And then in a little bit, after we talk about the weather and things, we'll be joined by three members of the cast and crew of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is coming up this weekend and next at the Panada Theater here in Sandpoint. And we'll talk all about that. This is a play, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, not the film, if you were confused by the marquee. They're putting it on live on stage, and we're going to be talking to them in just a minute. It's a beautiful day so far.
It's a beautiful day.
The wind died down at last after a very blustery.
It was awful yesterday.
Yes, that was a struggle getting home.
I pedaled my bike.
Uh huh. James and I saw you pedaling your bike yesterday.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, were you the ones who yelled to me and nearly hit me and ran me off the road? You're the ones.
No. We saw you at a distance. I said, oh, there goes Jim.
At a distance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. But
did I look like that was my first time out on my bike?
You looked steady. You were confident and smooth on that bike. It looked good.
Don't stop. Tell me more.
Well, you and both of us pedaled in today, and it's a little easier going today than yesterday.
Very much so, but a little bit on the nippy side.
Yes. The forecast calls for a high of 57 degrees today and mostly sunny. The overnight low down to 31 tonight and mostly clear. And then tomorrow, the forecasters think they've now revised up a few degrees. The National Weather Service has says now that tomorrow the high is going to be 61 and should be sunny. Sunny and 61 Good Friday, but then partly cloudy on Friday night and the rain moves in. 40% chance of showers on Saturday with a high of 56. A 60% chance of showers on Easter Sunday and a high of 51. And 60% chance of showers on Monday, high of 53. Let's see, if I look ahead a little bit further, it does look like maybe it'll clear up again on Tuesday and Wednesday. Mostly sunny and highs in the low 60s in the middle of next week. So that's, that's something to look forward to. But a little rain this weekend.
Everything is greening up.
That's true.
And we know about April showers.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've got to attack the lawn this afternoon because if I don't, I'm going to be using what do they call those things that you swoosh across?
Oh, the
scythe?
A scythe? I know what you're talking about.
Okay, yeah. good. Okay.
So you were in Billings, Montana last weekend.
Last week, and I couldn't be here. And beautiful drive across the state with the snow-capped peaks. I love that drive. It breaks perfectly, here to Missoula, Missoula to Butte, Butte to Bozeman, Bozeman to Billings.
Uh-huh.
It's got a rhythm.
It does. You're absolutely right. Yeah, it does. You can stop every so often.
There was a little bit of road construction around Quince Hot Springs. So I didn't take that route back. I went to River Valley and came across coming back. But it's just beautiful. Saw elk, saw antelope, and got to see my brother and get my taxes done and hang out with friends and eat too much. One of the things I realized, Jack, is that I've got to have friends who don't like to get together over food because I did nothing but eat the whole time while I was there. And it was a great time. Good to be back there and good to be back here.
Well, it's nice to have you. And then you're leaving us again.
Yes. We're heading to Oregon.
Okay.
And but then I'll be back, maybe.
Okay. Maybe so. Okay.
Who's with us in the studio, Jack?
Turning now to, we have both Aslan and the Witch here with us. Maddie Peterson is here, an actress in the upcoming stage production of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, as well as Brady Smith and Connie Keene, who is the, what's your title with Honey Pearl Productions?
I am the co-founder of Honey Pearl Productions along with my husband.
Okay. That's Connie's voice. Guess Maddie, say hello and good morning.
Hello, good morning, everybody.
Okay. And Brady.
Good morning. Thanks for having us, guys.
And before we go too far, let's say when, where, and the location. I know it's at the Panada Theater. It is a two-weekender. It's this Friday and Saturday, and next weekend, it's that would be the 25th, 26th, 27th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, and the doors will open 1 hour before each, but you can go to panada.org and get all of the times, but I'll briefly run through them. On Friday, it's at 7 o'clock, and Saturday, there's a matinee and an evening, two performances at 1 and at 7. And then on the 25th, if you enjoyed it a lot the first weekend, you can come back the second weekend, 7 p.m. on Friday. Saturday and Sunday will be matinees, 1 o'clock on Saturday the 26th and 3 o'clock on Sunday the 27th. How did I do?
You did fantastic. I'll just do my director's plug and say tickets are $25 each, and you can get them at honeypearlproductions.com/events. Or if you go to the Panada's website, they have a link to the tickets there as well.
Cool.
Well, okay. The play is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, based on a novel by C.S. Lewis. Tell us right from the get-go, what inspired you to say, let's put this play on? Did you first say, well, we want to put on a play, what are we going to do? Or did you say, this is the play we want to do, now let's put together a crew? Because this is the first Honey Pearl production.
Exactly, yep. This is our inaugural show, mm-hmm. and we'll kind of determine whether there are more shows or not, the success of this one. And it's looking like it's going to be a huge success, and ticket sales are looking good, and there's been a lot of excitement over the show. So we plan on continuing on. But to answer your original question, it was more that we knew we wanted to put on a play. And actually, I'm kind of a musical or bust kind of person. And so my first instinct was to go for a musical because that's what I love. And then it seemed like that wouldn't be a smart choice for our first show because of the needs of a musical, even more production needs. I mean, bigger crew, you got to have a music director, all that kind of good stuff. And so I'm doing scare quotes that nobody can see, toned it back by doing The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is not a musical, but it's still a huge production. Because
it's not toning it back.
Yeah, it's not toning it back at all, because the costumes for this, if you're familiar with the story, there's a centaur, there's a unicorn. I mean, even the witch, and Aslan's a lion, and how do you put those costumes together, and how do you do the set? It's a huge show, so it still kind of feels, it has that magic of a musical, even though it isn't. It's very fantastic. And the story is beloved by everyone. I mean, it's a Christian, it's an allegory for the resurrection story, so it's perfect for Easter season. But even folks who are secular and don't, prescribe to Christianity at all tend to love this story because it's magical. There's a truth to it about sacrificial love that everyone can appreciate, right? Whether you're a believer or not. And that has been the case so far. You tell a random person on the street that we're doing The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and 9 times out of 10, they go, oh, that's so awesome. I love that. I love that book as a kid. That's the most common thing that I love that as a kid. And then it, brings back all this nostalgia.
Wonderful. Maddie, you are the White Witch.
That's right. Yes.
And, tell me about your character.
About my character?
Oh, yes. Gosh.
Well, she is scary. Not that scary.
You don't look scary.
No. It's really
makeup.
That tends to be the general reaction from people. They say, oh, you're in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Who are you playing? Oh, I'm playing the White Witch.
What?
Every single person, but it's such a fun role to play just because it's so vastly different from my, just day-to-day life. And it's really fun to get really into the character, and I'm having a really great time with it.
What were the challenges of getting into this character that I take it is so unlike you?
Oh, the challenges. I mean, just kind of trying to think of, it's so... because she's so mean, you know, she's kind of the epitome of just bad everything.
Evil.
Yeah, almost.
Well, sort of like my second grade school teacher.
Right, exactly. And so it's kind of throwing away, you know, everything that you're, you know, trying to do to be like a good person, you know, of, okay, you know, like have self-control, be kind, speak kindly to people when you're frustrated. And so it's interesting just taking all of that and be like, nope, throw all of that out the window. And if you're frustrated, really just dig into it and just really be just so incredibly mad. And yeah, but it's been a fun challenge in that way, because when else are you gonna get to randomly scream your head off at things that make you mad?
I mean, this is interesting to me, both these characters, the it's basically the personification of like evil or wickedness, and then the personification of good is Aslan. And so, but then it's hard to, if you're an actor, it's hard to be, to kind of find the motivation in your own life or relate to it as clearly as you would just, you know, playing somebody out of Death of a Salesman or something like that, where you can find the character somewhere within yourself. This is something, I don't know, something different. How is it playing Aslan? What do you look for? Brady.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. It's a very fatherly role. You've got the Pevensey children. I've got two kids of my own, so it's really, I don't know, I kind of fell right into it, I feel like, and really enjoyed it. You get to do that. But then there's also a fierce side to Aslan as well, where he's actually going out and taking care of business as well. So it's a fun back and forth.
And you're in costume, I suppose.
Yeah, major costume.
How major is the costume?
Major in that I am very hot the whole time.
Okay.
it's full on. I've got a mane. I've got the whole nine yards. I look like a lion.
Cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah, the makeup is absolutely incredible. We have a really cool team that's doing amazing, amazing work on that. And so it takes me 15 to 20 minutes to get my face all made up and all that sort of thing, which is a new experience, something I'm not used to, but it's been cool.
I think I saw this play when I was a kid, or maybe it was a totally different adaptation. I don't know. I definitely saw the play when I was, 7 or 8 years old, and it's memorable.
Yeah.
Tell us about this adaptation a little bit, I guess. Are there a number of different ones, or is this like the one Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe?
There are a number of different ones.
I kind of thought there might be.
There are a number of different ones. There's one that is bordering, it is more of a musical, and I'm sure there's others on top of that. And I've seen this one. The version that we're doing is the one that's most commonly done, though, by community theater. The musical version and some of these other scripts that are out there are done more by professional theater groups, from what I've seen. We are doing, if you've seen The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe on stage like 2 years ago in some other town or whatever, it was probably the same, the same script and the same version that we're doing. But of course, there's still a lot of creative freedom that you have with any script that you get, no matter how many times it's been done. And so my approach to this story is to try to honor C.S. Lewis and what he was trying to accomplish with the book, and try to stay as close to the original material as I can. So, and that's made it actually different than other stage versions that I've seen. So for instance, Mr. Tumnus is frequently cast as kind of any aged man, and that's the Faun, if you're not familiar with the story. He's kind of a half goat, half man, and he's who Lucy first meets when she comes into Narnia. But in the book, Tumnus is supposed to be a young guy just kind of figuring out how to be an adult. I don't want to say man, because he's a Faun, but how to be an adult Faun, you know, basically finding out what it takes to be a man and to have courage and that sort of thing. And so he needs to be young, and so our Mr. Tumnus he's an adult, barely. He's 18 years old, who's playing, Gabriel is playing Mr. Tumnus. And we've also made Mr. Tumnus have red skin, which is, I've never seen that on stage or in a movie before, because he's described in the book as having ruddy red skin. So that's his makeup design. The Pevensey children, we cast younger than what you frequently see in movies and on stage. A lot of the times, the two older kids, Peter and Susan, will be played by kids that are 17, 18 years old. but actually in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, they're supposed to be 13 and 12. So a lot of people don't even realize how young the Pevensey kids are supposed to be and how they're described in the book, because we're used, you know, we have the movie version, you know, branded in our minds. And so just little things like that, I've tried to keep it close to the original. And then, like I said, I have a love for musicals, and so I can't help myself. And there's a lot of music. There's a lot of underscoring in this show that we've added. There's some choreography in it, just a little bit. A little bit of dancing. The fight scenes are pretty, we went pretty big on those. A lot of choreographed movement there. So trying to stick to the original, but there's a little dose of Connie in there in my penchant for musicals, yeah.
So is this play all age appropriate?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I will say it gets a little spooky during Aslan is, you know, he's the sacrifice, right?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, there's a witch's army comes and they walk down the aisle, and there's some spooky lighting and some kind of intense music. I have very young children, and my 3-year-old's still going to come, and I'm pretty conservative with what I let them see. So I would say it's all ages, but if you have a kid that's really spooked really easily and they have nightmares when they watch Casper the Ghost, maybe don't bring them, but everybody else should be able to handle it.
And how long does the play last? Because I'm thinking of somebody who might have children, and if it starts at 7 o'clock.
Right. It is about 90 minutes long, and there is an intermission. So it's actually pretty short for a play like this.
Okay.
But we've also done quite a few matinees to try to be family friendly as possible. Mm-hmm. So that's why that second Saturday, it's not usually Saturday you do another evening show, right? But we're doing a 1 o'clock matinee to try to be as family friendly as possible.
And there's also, well, there's a 1 o'clock both on the 19th and the 26th, and then a 3 o'clock on the 27th. So that if there's someone out there or, oh, I want my kids in bed by a certain time, they can always bring them to a matinee.
And I totally understand and relate. I have 4 children under the age of 5. Nap time is critical. Bedtime is critical. So I have the mom in mind when we set the schedule for the show.
Perfect. Let's turn to Maddie and Brady. Maddie, let's start with you in terms of a little bit of your history with the stage and how you came upon this role as one that you'd like to be.
Oh, well, I'm very new to the stage, honestly. I did my first show as an adult about 2 years ago. I was in Into the Woods, which was a musical,
which was
really fun. I saw the advertising. My dear friend is kind of helping with the props for this show. And so she was like, oh, I'm working on this upcoming production.
You can mention her name.
Oh, her name is Mariah Bell. She's wonderfully talented. She is absolutely, I cannot say enough about this girl. She's doing a fantastic job. And also doing crew backstage, she's absolutely doing fantastic.
But she's the one who alerted you to the possibility.
She's the one. And then I saw the advertisements, and this was one of the first book series that I remember being read to as a child. Ooh. It was very, very special.
So you have a personal connection.
So I have a personal connection to it. I saw it, and I thought, oh my goodness, I really want to be part of the show. And I wasn't sure, oh, is there a role that I'll fit into? You know, like in the back of my mind, oh, the witch is such a big role and such a big, like, important thing. And I was absolutely thrilled to be cast in the show. And so, yeah, it's very exciting to be part of.
Well, you were talking earlier about how unlike you this character is, but we all have a dark side. And isn't it nice to be able to, you know, be mean and, you know, when you really don't want to be, but in a play.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's something very fun about that, you know, because it's something that's so unusual, you know, just being able to kind of tap into it and just let it all loose on stage, and it's fun.
Good. And Brady, what's your background?
Not much.
How did you get here?
Yeah. So I've been doing voice acting through audiobook narration.
I have a
podcast that I've been doing for about 6 years now. So we've done all kinds of books, you know, from Pride and Prejudice to Tarzan to Princess of Mars and Sherlock Holmes books and all that sort of thing. So I love acting with my voice, but I've never gotten a chance to do it on stage. I've always wanted to. It's always been something I've been really interested in doing. And I saw the flyer, actually, for the auditions for this play, and I was like, oh, that looks cool. The graphic design on the flyer was very cool, and so I was like, oh, that looks neat. And then I didn't think anything of it, and then my wife came home that same night, and she was like, hey, I saw a flyer, and she took a picture of it and showed me. She's like, you need to do this. And I was like, are you sure? Like, this can be, like... a lot of time and effort to do all that, and she's like, "Yeah, you should do it." So she's been very supportive and getting me into doing the role, and it's been a lot of fun. I really even enjoyed this change.
The play is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. We're talking with Brady Smith and Maddie Peterson, who are actors in the play, and Connie Keene, who is the director as well as co-founder of Honey Pearl Productions, putting on the show. The source text, which you talked about a little bit, going back to that, I had also forgotten the youth of the characters, how young the kids are in the book. Jim,
me,
I'm putting, yes, I know you point. I'm going to ask you what your relationship is with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I'm guessing everybody else in the room, this is just a timeless classic that we grew up with and probably were exposed to at a young age. But you,
me,
you,
me,
yes. Do you remember?
Well, I grew up with C.S. Lewis.
Okay.
We went to the same grade school. The advantage that Connie, Maddie, and Brady have is that they have a more immediate experience. I have to blow the dust off.
Yeah.
Many decades.
Would you have read it when you are, or had it read to you or something?
I had
when
it
you
read
were a
to
boy.
Me.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
But I don't think I ever read it on my own.
Yeah. Okay.
How about you?
But it was, I also had it read to me, and then I think I read it on my own later on too.
Now, did C.S. Lewis do the stage play?
No, he didn't. He didn't adapt it for the stage.
Okay.
It's a guy named Joseph Robinette that wrote the script, but.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I guess I was wondering, was it an immediate a bestseller or a runaway hit, or was it something that kind of grew in the popular imagination over time to kind of occupy the space that it holds now?
I would imagine that those people who had it read to them carried it with them, and as they had their children, a good experience like you with James, when will he be ready to have it read to him?
I don't know. Yeah, there's lots. Most of it is okay, but then there's some scary parts and some fighting that we might not. I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah. It'll be soon, but not. He's four right now. It'll be one of these years, but probably not this year. That's my guess. We tried The Hobbit, and I had to edit. Or he still likes that a lot, but I kind of edit it on the fly as I read it out loud.
Ah, sort of. Wonderful.
Yeah. What? Anyway, not sure if he's listening right now, so I'll leave it there.
We'll leave it there.
What things may have changed in the version that was read to him.
It's really interesting to me that I hear the C.S. Lewis and Tolkien are always put together, and I don't know if people know, but they were good friends.
Yeah.
And they actually both fought in World War I, not like together, but they were at the same time, and that greatly influenced their writing and stuff. So it's really cool, just the combination between the two, and just how the two different fantasy worlds that came out of those two guys.
Yeah. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is set let's do it. Let's talk about what the play actually is real quick for those who don't know. Does it start in, where does it begin? Do you start in Narnia, or do you start in here in the real world somewhere?
So there's not the professor. If you're familiar with the story, the children get sent away because it's set during World War II. And so they get sent away to the country to stay with the professor, who you never really learn actually what exactly the connection to the, like, it's, he's a distant relative, or I'm not sure exactly, but the parents send the kids away. And so in the book, the professor has a little bit larger of a role. In the stage version, there's no professor character. They just mention that they're at the professor's house, and that's in the prologue for the show. The kids come out, they say, oh, we're in a mansion, and let's look around. There's a wardrobe. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, they're in Narnia. So the majority of the show is set in Narnia. And they don't go back, and it's actually in the book. If you're familiar with it, they go back and they talk about when Lucy comes back through the wardrobe and she's telling her older siblings about this magical world of Narnia, they don't believe her. And so they take it to the professor, and the professor believes her. And it's actually really, really wonderful moment in the book that isn't captured in the play, unfortunately. But yes, so the majority of the show set in Narnia.
That's what when you mentioned that it's only 90 minutes long, I was trying to think, like, how do you fit all that into 90 minutes? Because I remember the beginning pretty, almost clearer than most of the rest of it. But yes, finding the wardrobe, going in, coming back out, everybody goes back, you know, there's a whole sequence, but...
Well, and really, the books aren't that long when you think about it. There's a lot in there, but there's short books. I mean, an adult could sit down and read them in an afternoon or two pretty easily. Yeah.
Should we take a music break?
That's what I was just thinking.
Okay.
It's halfway through the show already.
Great minds. We'll take a music break, and then we'll come back, give all of the times and dates, and have more conversation with Maddie, Brady, and Connie. On this date, the 17th of April in 1970, Johnny Cash was invited to the White House by Richard Nixon.
Whoa.
President at that time.
Okay.
And this is the song that Johnny Cash performed.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Well, I grew up quick and I grew up mean.
They weren't at the White House when he recorded that. He was at San Quentin. But that's Johnny Cash on this date in 1970. He performed A Boy Named Sue for President Nixon.
Why was he invited to the White House?
Everybody gets invited to the White House at one time or another. Even Kid Rock.
Yeah.
Who?
That's right. Yes, everybody does. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY, talking to Connie Keene, Brady Smith, and Maddie Peterson about The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe coming up this weekend and next live on stage at the Panada Theater. Talking a little bit about, we've talked somewhat about the characters, but the production, the enormous production that you've managed to pull together here. What goes into creating this whole fantasy world? Do you have a number of different sets, or is it all kind of set on a blank stage?
We have different things? Yeah. The set pieces, I mean, we have an actual sleigh that Maddie gets rolled out on. We have an amazing, what I consider to be an amazing set piece for Mr. Tumnus's house and the Beaver house, which is cleverly actually the same wall. So on one side, it's Mr. Tumnus's house. And then when the Beavers come on later, we flip it around and it's set for Beaver. If you're familiar with the Panada, it's not a lot of space back there. So you have to get real creative with how you conserve space and not go too crazy with the set pieces, which we probably did for the show. Go too crazy because it's tight back there. We've got stone table. We've got trees, you know, that change seasons. They're painted. And actually, Maddie, we were talking before we came back on about how people are double dipping and contributing in multiple ways. Maddie is our White Witch, and she also helped paint those trees. So when you see them and you go, wow, they look so pretty. That was Maddie in part who contributed to that. We've got a beautiful wardrobe. I mean, we've gone all out with the set and the costumes the same. We have big, like, life-size, like, human-sized puppets, like one-man operating puppets to be the unicorn, the stag, centaurs, something else. My husband built all of those puppets. My mom contributed to some of the set pieces. Chris Jones is another set designer that we have. We have an amazing team doing costumes. McCallum Morgan plays Fenris Ulf, but then also designed Maddie's costume for the White Witch and his own costume and the dwarf. So basically the evil squad. He did all the costumes for them. Vicky Turnbull did Brady's costume, Aslan, she did the beavers, she did Mr. Tumnus, Rochelle Hendricks did the nymphs, and we've got a newbie, Charlotte Young, who also definitely pulled her weight doing costume design as well. So I'd love for Maddie to talk about her many looks as the White Witch, because her costume, I mean, I think you're the luckiest person because you get to change your costume quite a bit, and they are all phenomenal.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people will ask, oh, what's your favorite costume? Because I have, I think it's three different, minimum of three costume changes. And as she mentioned, McCallum Morgan designed all of these, and he also plays Fenris Ulf, who is in the play. He's my right-hand man. He's my, you know, we call him captain of the secret police. And so he is not only just doing a phenomenal job bringing that character to life, but I will go into the room on the side and he's sewing on his own costume and designing it. But oh my goodness, every time I would come to a rehearsal and he'd say, oh, I have another piece for you. It's the kind of thing I look at it and I'm like, I cannot believe I get to wear this. It's absolutely stunning. So he's designed this beautiful white lace dress that just makes me feel like a princess when I put it on, and this like fur shawl, and I have three different crowns for this show. If that tells you anything about just how above and beyond he's gone, just
so
much. Do
you get to keep any of that after the performance?
I don't think so. That's pretty special stuff.
What happens to, let's say they're especially fitted for Maddie and her size and everything like that, what happens to the beautiful?
So some of the costumes are more like they can't be, probably won't ever be reused again, but most of them we will keep them and think, okay, how will we potentially use this in a show in the future, yeah, whether it mm-hmm. requires a modification or not. Your silver war dress, I'm not sure what that would be used for but her beautiful lace dress that she has could potentially be a play that we do in the future where someone gets married, right? You might be able to, you know, rework mm-hmm. that to where it's a wedding dress or something like that. So, and maybe it's even Maddie playing the bride. So we're just like, hey, remember when you wore this as a witch? Now you're a beautiful. No, probably won't happen. But we try to keep as much as we can, whether it's costume or set mm-hmm. pieces, to reuse mm-hmm. because we are on a tight budget. And so anything that we can reuse in the future, we're going to do it. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And
how about you, Brady? What are you dressed in?
I'm a lion. So initially I was talking to Vicky, the one who designed my costume. She said initially the plan was just kind of just different things. And then she had somebody who had a bunch of actual like fur stuff to use. So my costume has a lot of fur, but I'm upright. So standing, so kind of a humanoid lion, I guess you'd say, and got some really cool accents to it. So like leather bracers on my wrists and then around my boots and stuff like that. And a really cool vest that looks very kingly. And I have a bit of a costume change as well. That'll be a bit of a surprise. So we'll keep that under wraps, I guess. And you have to come see the show to see what that looks like. But it's pretty awesome because I get sacrificed, and spoiler alert, come back to life. And there's some pretty drastic changes that occur in that period of time. So,
well, you mentioned while we were listening to Johnny Cash, the importance of the play generating enthusiasm in the imaginations of children. And yeah, you have some children of your own, and can you talk more about what the play can do for a child?
Yeah, it's really cool. My daughter is four, and she's come to quite several of the rehearsals. And initially, we were talking about just, you know, with the age range, you don't want to have them freaked out and having nightmares and all that sort of thing. So we were kind of trying to ease her into it because we knew she'd want to come see the play, but we didn't want her to be scared of what was going on and stuff. So we figured we'll take her to the rehearsals and maybe get her kind of warmed up to it. And it didn't take 2 seconds. Like she absolutely loved it and was not scared at all. She thought everything was just the best. She would sit there for 3 hours, 4 hours, just watching the rehearsal. And then when we get home, she would want to rehearse the play with me. And so she always wanted to be Lucy, one of the characters, and she also wanted to be the witch. She was very, very inspired by Maddie's performances and stuff. So she's just, yeah, absolutely just her creativity and taking what she sees there and then and just how that just inspires her in so many ways is really cool to see. And I think any kid that comes and sees this, is just something, it's on a level that you're not going to get to see. And it's so different from seeing it on a screen. You can watch the you know, Narnia movie, and that's one thing. But for a kid to actually see a real live person and then get to interact with that person in a way, is just so incredible for their little brains and just all the creativity that comes out of that.
So does your daughter have any difficulty disassociating you with the lion and the lion back and forth?
I don't think so. She's a natural born actress, and I think honestly though, I think most 4-year olds are. So I think it's incredible to see just how their brain works and how God made them to just be able to play and pretend, and that's basically what we get to do as adults here, which is why this play has been so much fun. It's like actually you don't get to do that in normal day to day life. So being able to just play and pretend is so much fun, and it's been really cool to see just how that lights her up.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I think we can safely say that the Peterson family will be attending this play at some point, one of these performances, and that's in part because my 4-year-old just went and saw Alice in Wonderland, and that was the first time he'd ever been in a play, and he enjoyed it a great deal. No, wait, it wasn't Alice in Wonderland; it was the other one, Snow White. Yes, because that was the and had lots of questions afterwards about what is how did the apple get poisoned and stuff like that. But just mentioning kind of that creativity, that creative spark in kids is it's very inspiring. One more question for Maddie, which is, is your height enhanced at all in the play? Because she's supposed to be huge, right?
She is. She is. Yeah. The witch is, I think, half giant, half, from some other realm. And so Connie really embraced that. And she said, would you be comfortable wearing as tall of heels as possible? And so I think they're 5 or 6 inch heels. And so, I become very tall all of a sudden.
With a big gown on, how do you navigate that? Did you have to go into training?
Oh, I definitely felt like a baby giraffe for a little while and, stumbled around for a little bit, but I've been trying to wear them to every rehearsal. And so now they feel pretty, pretty natural, but it was definitely something to get used to at first because, I'm a pretty, I don't really wear heels ever just on a regular basis. And so it was not only learning to navigate a taller one, but one at all.
As someone who's never worn heels, what do you have to be aware of?
Aware of? Oh, goodness.
Balance?
Balance, for sure. Definitely balance. It was funny enough, you would think that walking upstairs would be one of the harder things. But yes. I don't know if for anyone who's been in the Panada, there's a little ramp that goes down towards the stage. Walking down the ramp is actually the hardest thing.
No steps, but just going down.
Not the steps, just down an incline for some reason has been really difficult. But they're really fun to wear because all of a sudden, and Brady's a very tall guy playing Aslan. To be able to stand up to someone as an opponent, it helps have that height advantage, see a little more eye to eye there.
He's not in heels, is he?
No.
Okay, the lion, the witch, the wardrobe at the Panada Theater. The doors will open 1 hour before the show, Friday the 18th. That is tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Saturday the 19th, two performances, a matinee and an evening, 1 and 7. On the 25th, they get a week break. And then on the 25th, that's Friday, at 7 p.m., Saturday, the 26th at 1, and Sunday, the 27th at 3 p.m.
Pretty cool.
That's it.
That's the show. Maddie
has to say goodbye to her prom dress.
Yeah. Rob Talbot, have you seen any of the rehearsals or anything like that?
Theater? I've stuck my head in a few times, yeah. Mm-hmm. Looking like a lot of fun. The lobby's transforming, being decorated. You're gonna walk into an experience.
Oh,
they're not messing around.
Okay,
yeah.
It's not just on stage.
It's immersive.
Yeah,
yeah.
I saw just 2 nights ago or whatever. I saw Mr. Mr. Beaver standing outside of the Panda Theater, and very convincing. It looked pretty good. The costumes are, I've only seen that costume, but it was incredible. I mean, if that's the level of detail that's going into that character, I can't wait to see what the witch and the lion look like. Well,
yeah, I'm quite excited about it. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out whether my boy can deal with the one spot, because we were riding ride in. He was like, "Daddy, who's Casper?" Who's Casper's like,
because heard that. Yeah,
we heard that part. So trying to explain it to him, he's like, "I don't know."
I'm a little,
but they're really excited. They want to see it. They came in and said hi the other day with me to the staff and crew. And they're really jazzed about it. So,
yeah,
you know, and I'm really excited about to see it myself. It's they're doing just a great job. I know there's so much dedication to this. So, I understand sales are going really well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great sign of the enthusiasm that not only the crew and staff have, but the community has, which is always fun.
Yeah, very cool. We actually have a couple of tickets to give away. Stay tuned for that. Should we do, I guess, any notes in closing before we wrap up the show and wrap up the morning show, talk about other things? What else do you want people to know about the play that we haven't mentioned so far?
Well, I guess I'll just do another shameless plug, that the tickets are $25 each and that you can get them at the Panada.org has a link to the tickets, of course, and then honeypearlproductions.com/events. You can also find tickets there. And there may or may not be another flash sale coming up soon for tickets. So if you follow us on social media, you will be alerted to that when it happens.
Okay.
Usually when we have performers on stage come into the studio, we wish them, you know, break a leg. But I don't know if I want to do that with Maddie in heels, you know, where that could be a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll wish that to Brady, but not to Maddie. I don't know what we'll wish you, but to all three of you, best of luck this weekend and next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Panada.org to get all the information and the nitty-gritty about the play.
Now we're live on the radio here, folks, so you decide. Do you want to wrap it up with a couple of, we've got these two backing tracks that I've got queued up. Is that appropriate? You want to do it?
Yeah, let's do it. I'd love for the audience to hear how talented these guys are.
Okay. Well then, get into character, and we'll start with the witch. Is that the plan?
Yes.
Okay. And how shall I do this? What's my part? Just hit play, and you'll come in.
Sounds good.
You should be able to hear it through the headphones there, Maddie.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Very well, my old adversary, Aslan. Aslan. Yes, I can speak the name, for soon he will be mine. The deep magic is on my side. Perhaps he has forgotten the deep magic, but I will remind him. Ginnabrick, we must summon our allies to meet us as soon as possible. Call forth the ghoul, the boggles, the ogres. Bring forth the cruel, the specter, the hag. This is war. And we shall fight with one aim in mind, to end forever the name of Aslan.
She wants to get rid of you, Brady.
How
do you feel about that?
Okay.
Good job.
All right.
Thank you.
I got chills there. That's cool.
The music really just provides a marvelous background for your vocals.
Connie's done an exceptional job at just providing the music, adds such a great element in there, even little like dance numbers, and it's a fantastic show with the music. It adds so much to it.
And she did that without a prompt or script before her.
I know. Yeah, you could have brought a script. Who would know here on the radio? But okay, we have one more little something. I guess Aslan has his bit to
his
say
moment.
As well. Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
Yes, the children will find their way back here again. Perhaps not through the wardrobe, for there are many other paths that lead to Narnia. Oh yes, they will return someday. For once a king of Narnia, always a king. Once a queen, always a queen. But they will not have to try to get here at all. It will come when they least expect it. The ways in which the Emperor over the seas calls to you are often unexpected. The great truth to hold in your heart is this. Though we may travel to and from Narnia, and though perhaps even our feelings may come and go, his love for us does not. And that, perhaps, is the deepest magic of all.
Well, all right.
They're getting a standing ovation for me.
That was outstanding.
Good job.
I think that's a perfect little glimpse of the, I think what people can expect these next couple weekends should be a magical time at the Panetta Theater. What do you say, Jim? What's our order of operations?
Well, we've got another person outside that, who came with,
Rob.
Exactly. Okay. We came with Rob, and so we'll say goodbye to Maddie and Brady and Connie, and best of luck. All the information's at panetta.org.
Thank you.
I have a pair of tickets to give away. I'm not going to do it right this second. I think at the close of the show, at the end of this morning show, we'll give away a pair of tickets to The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So stay tuned.
Cool. Ha!
You can't tune out now.
Do we have a song? I didn't queue up a song.
Yeah, I'll find something. We'll find a good lion show. Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Oh, that's a nice one.
By the Tokens.
Okay. We'll find a good, that's as good as any. And thank you guys very much for coming in this morning.
Thank you. We already said,
I guess, break a leg, break a heel, break a claw. Okay. Should I pull that up right now?
It's a short song.
Okay.
It's about 2 minutes and 20 seconds, and we can get...
Okay. I love you. Here we go. The Lion Sleeps Tonight by
The Tokens. Tokens.
Yes, indeed. Malt Shop Memories. This comes from 1961. Excellent.
Don't giggle. I remember it.
I'm sure you do. Okay, we'll be right back, and I tell you what, if you want to call, the first caller during this song gets a pair of tickets to The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I believe, to a show of your choice. So give us a call at 208-265-2992. We'll be back with more on The Morning Show right after this. Phone's ringing off the hook. You're on, Jim.
Okay, that was The Tokens, The Lion Sleeps Tonight. That was a song that we thought we would do in honor of Brady's character, The Lion.
Wonderful. Okay. Nobody there. Thanks for calling, everybody. We did give away a pair of tickets. Guess what? We actually do have a couple more pairs of tickets to give away, not right this second. Stay tuned to KRFY in the coming day, the coming days. I think we'll find a few good opportunities.
Well, it can't
to
be
give
the
away.
Days because the first performance is tomorrow night.
Yeah, I know. We could maybe but during it works
the,
for the next one.
Are you doing the news show tomorrow morning?
I am.
How about during the news show?
Let's do one then. Okay.
Cool.
All right. Tune in tomorrow morning at 8 for the new show. And then when we wrap that up, we'll give away a pair of tickets at that time, too. Okay. We have a change of cast here in the radio station studio. Rob and Olivia are here from the Panetta Theater.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having us.
We just finished talking about a performance at the Panetta.
Multiple performances.
Six showings.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Yes, three this weekend and three next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say I've been very impressed with their preparation. Mm-hmm. Very, very much attention to detail. very professional. I think it's going to be a great show. Mm-hmm. So, and like I said a little while ago, it looks like ticket sales are doing really well. So,
cool.
Standpoint showing up. Don't miss it. That's what I want to tell you from here. Just don't miss it.
Yeah.
Pick one show at least and come to it. Pick an early one. That way you can come again because you can. That was
so
pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna drag some of your friends to it. So yeah. we got a busy time coming up at the Panda. Between that coming up this week, and they've been in the house getting ready and decorating, and we're also participating in Live Give 7B. And I've got Olivia here, who is our fundraising coordinator. She can tell you a little bit about that, and we'll jump back onto the other events after that, but this is pretty important for our entire community. There are a lot of almost how many nonprofits is it?
It says over 65 nonprofits participating in this initiative, and I wanted to hop in today and just remind everyone because it's happening this week. It's a community-wide campaign to raise funds and awareness about all the incredible nonprofits in our community. So if you haven't checked it out yet, definitely hop online and look at their website, 7bgives.org. You can see they list all the nonprofits participating. And it's a really great campaign and kind of just a reminder of where would our community be without these nonprofits, and just a way to recognize these amazing organizations and appreciate them through giving and community. And there's a party at Matchwood on Friday from 4 to 7. All the representatives from the nonprofits will be there, and we can all gather and just cheers to our great community of Sandpoint.
You know, there's, of those 65 plus, there are a lot that are going to be, that'll have something to do with your life and play a role in your life each day. Obviously, the Panda is a huge one for me as being the director. But, you know, Selkirk School is in there. That's where my kids go. We've got a lot of the nonprofits like SOUL, Selkirk Outdoor Leadership and Education, LPORT, that come into the theater on a regular basis. They're part of this as well. So get out there and support. Would definitely love your support for the Panda, but also support all those other nonprofits. It's kind of a tenuous time for a lot of nonprofits right now. There's a lot of uncertainty with federal funding and just lack of federal funding coming up, it seems. So we all need a little bit extra help right now, making sure that we're all able to give you the resources that and the programming that you want to see.
This is 88.5.
So step out there. The website, Olivia?
7bgives.org.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you can, if you follow a nonprofit that's in the Sandpoint, Bonner County area, the chances are they're popping this on their social media this week. So check that out. There's banners all over town on the light poles. We got a message on our on the marquee. So it's a little bit everywhere. Just, you know, it doesn't have to be a lot. Just reach out and $5 here, $10 there. Mm-hmm. All of it helps.
I spoke last week, Jim, while you were absent. I talked to Katie Cox and Katie Bugalki about this project. And at the time they said I could give an update on their fundraising status, this week. So I think I'm not speaking out of turn when I say that right now the reporting says that they've raised $78,000 so far.
That's part of this effort. Wonderful.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Of a $70,000 goal. So it tells you why Bonner County is so wealthy with nonprofits and people trying to make our lives a little bit better. Because we get all the support out there. You know, Sandpoint and Bonner County is just so supportive, and it's very appreciated.
Yeah, you know, you said a mouthful there, Rob. I think, and it is a tenuous time for all nonprofits. I know our radio station works in partnership with other nonprofits too, and we see it a lot. And we've actually lost a couple of underwriters in the last couple months from the nonprofit community who've just said like we're drastically slashing our budget right now, and we can't afford to support. Yep. you know, other things. It all kind of trickles downhill. So it's a good time to support if you have the means.
And even if you don't, one more thought, you know, hop on. Many of those nonprofits need volunteers too. Hop on, get on someone's website and see how you can volunteer and help out with your time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing you can do that doesn't require much time, even if you're busy, you don't have much extra money floating around, share the posts, you know, share it with people that you know, let people outside your community know, you know, if you've got relatives that support the theater, say, hey, you know, this is something that's important to us. We're seeing this a lot. Share it with your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents, your parents, like let them know what's going on. Say, this is really important in our community. We look forward to showing you, bringing you to a show when you come back, or, you know, our kids go to this school, support that. So there are a lot of ways to do it, even if you're not the one, you know, taking the credit card out and or the debit card or donate, putting money in the jar. You know, you can help spread the word in a lot of different ways.
Well, it is after 9 o'clock. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY Pondere, and we ordinarily would be wrapping up the show right now. Are we leaving out any very important things that we need to say?
Well, upcoming events at the Panada.
Yeah, I'd like to. If we got time. Do you need a couple bird chirps for the bird note folks?
Oh, they can get it at.
There you go.
They could do it at noon and at 3:00.
Yeah.
We got 2 weekends worth of Lion Witch in the Wardrobe, and then after that, we continue just firing on all cylinders. We've got Collision of Rhythm presented by Pondere Arts Council, which is another nonprofit taking place in Live Give 7B. That's on Wednesday, April 30th. That is going to be a really good show. I highly suggest that show. And then the following night, Jim Messina. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could just park your car out front and just live at the Panda for the weekend. Honestly, with Jim Messina coming up, we got a low ticket warrant on that. We're kind of, you know, I think we got about 80 seats left. So let's get out there and get those tickets if you're wanting to go to that. Then we got Matt Mitchell Music Company and the Holy Broke at the Panda Little Theater. It's a really fun, intimate venue. If you haven't been there, please check it out. Loneliest Race, put on by Sandpoint Sailing Association, another great nonprofit that we work with. That's on May 3rd. And then I really want to, again, point out the Panada Moms Red Carpet Gala. And this is a gala that we're starting. This is the first annual. It's going to be an event that you probably haven't been to in Sandpoint before. Mm-hmm. The variety of this show will be, rarely seen. How about that? I won't say unmatched because there's a lot of great stuff that goes on in Sandpoint. Mm-hmm. But the variety and the talent will be top notch. We've got David Da Vinci coming back to do some of his Thrillusionist tricks. We've got the Gothard sisters coming back and performing. We've got comedy. We've got play, theater, a little bit of everything that the Panada does. And it's it all in celebration of the three Panada moms. And it's on Mother's Day weekend, the Friday of Mother's Day weekend, in celebration of those three ladies that saved the Panada back in 1985. There will be a red carpet out front. There'll be paparazzi. We'll be taking doing the whole match. So dress up a little bit. Come have fun. Tickets are only $75. That sounds like a big number, but it's a lot of entertainment, a lot of fun, and there'll be some free drink tickets to go along with that.
And complimentary bites from local restaurants.
Complimentary bites by local restaurants. We have about 10 local restaurants at this point. We still got a couple more coming in that are donating to us appetizers. So we'll be serving appetizers throughout the opening hour, the cocktail hour. Mm-hmm. From 6 to 7. Mm-hmm. So get there when the doors open at 6, have some bites, have a few cocktails, check out the silent auction, check out some of the things we're doing, hear some great piano being played, and then we'll get the main stage will pop off at around 7, and we're going to have silent auction, live auction, the whole meal deal.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of good stuff happening. And lots of good entertainment, and it all supports the Panada. A lot of these, almost all of the artists that will be performing are donating their time or doing it for cost, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's a really, really awesome to be able to pull the community together and have all these artists and people that are excited to support the Panada. And the funds will be going to our general operating budget to make sure that we're able to bring in more great music for music and films. These $5 films that we do don't pay for themselves, you know, most of the time. So this type of stuff goes to help us make these things continue to happen. Looking at some great comedy coming up this fall, just to throw you a hint that some of that's coming. But yeah,
Mother's Day weekend, one night only.
May 9th, yeah.
One night only.
Come to the first one.
Yeah.
There will be many more of these to come. Don't miss the first one.
We've got one more note. We've got some really exciting auction packages that we're putting together just so people can get excited about that. I think one of my favorites is we've got a day on the lake in a boat. I think you can fit 10 to 15 of your friends, followed by a catered dinner at a lakeside estate with a private concert. So, and more.
Okay. My goodness.
Is it Turks and Caicos?
Yep. Hey. Turks and Caicos Day. Yep.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So some goodies.
Mm-hmm. Some goodies.
Yes. At the Panada Moms Gala, the first ever.
the first ever of many, and yes. We're gonna do for the beloved chairs up the love seats up in the balcony.
Yeah,
we are having to put. So some of you know, that aren't aware, we're needing to put in a rail piece.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna have to raise those seats. We're gonna take this opportunity to repad them and recover them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be doing a paddle raise with the money going to that.
Yeah.
So we're going to need your help with that. We'll do some more fundraising outside of that if we need to. I got a feeling we're going to cover a lot of it that night.
All right. Well, folks, I think it is time for Bird Note, probably. Jim, you're going to be gone next week.
Yes, I will. But
just
I'll
be back.
You
will.
You'll be back the week after that? You're not gone for good, are you?
No, not quite. But I do have an opportunity to be gone for 2 months. So,
oh my. Okay. Well, we'll have to talk about that. Where they'll have to discuss that a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
On many levels.
Yeah.
You're absolutely correct.
Sounds like you hadn't put for that time off yet.
No, I haven't.
Okay. Bird note. Brewers, sparrows.
Oh wait, one more time.
Singer.
Wait, yeah. Did you start it up?
No.
Okay. Everyone should go to the Bonner Bee today. On page 2, there's a familiar face being recognized and honored, and that's all I will say. Upper left-hand corner, page 2 of the Bonner Bee.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for saying that. And it is time for Bird Note, and we'll stay tuned for Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that here on 88.5 KRFY.